This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm John Idsty. Achtung Bunnies, the German Hugh Hefner is retiring. But first, next week, the first major conference of Iraqi opposition groups in 3 years is tentatively scheduled to meet in Brussels. The event is designed to showcase solidarity among Iraqi enemies of Saddam Hussein. But a threatened boycott by at least one of the groups, as well as disputes over who gets to go and what's on the agenda, could sink the conference. Rend Rahim Franki is executive director of the Iraq Foundation, and she's here in the studio with us. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And Faisal Amin Istrabadi, a lawyer and Iraqi-American activist, is also here. Welcome, Mr. Istrabadi.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Ms. Franki, first question goes to you. Who among the opposition is likely to be at next Saturday's conference, and who's threatening not to be there?
First of all, you quite rightly said tentatively scheduled, because there is talk about perhaps postponing the conference in order to get a better meeting of the minds, mm-hmm. and to have a better conference than is currently planned. There are six groups that are involved in planning the conference: two Kurdish parties, PUK, KDP. The Iraqi National Accord, SIRI, which is an Islamist group. There is the INC,
the Iraqi National Congress,
and there is also the sixth group, the Constitutional Monarchy Group. They are the ones who are organizing it, and they are the ones who are supposed to be there along with other people.
Some of the groups are threatening to boycott. The Iraqi National Congress, as I understand, says it may not go if the conference is held.
Yes, that's correct. And even the Constitutional Monarchy may, we don't know for sure. But the reason that there are objections to the way the conference is set up now is because the conference is seen as not being diverse enough, not being large enough, not being representative of the diversity of Iraqis. There is also the issue of how the conference is run.
Mr. Istrabadi, what are the top items on the agenda at present, and what should be there, in your opinion?
The goals are quite modest as they are now proposed. As I understand it, there is to be very little discussion of the actual sort of shape of a future government of Iraq, an interim authority, if you will, on the agenda. My impression is that there is a desire on the part of some of the parties to have a conference which attracts attention as a kind of a media event, which is important to show that Iraqis are indeed preparing for the arrival of the day of his removal. There is a desire to create a sort of a follow-up committee to propose certain possibilities rather than to discuss those possibilities now.
Ms. Franki, United Nations arms inspections are set to begin soon in Iraq. I wonder if opposition leaders are interested in this process of inspection and disarmament, or do they simply want to get on to the process of regime change?
Well, the question of disarmament and WMDs has really hobbled the issue of Iraq.
WMDs, weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons of mass destruction for the last 12 years. And so we are, in a sense, interested in that. However, you have to understand that the problem in Iraq is, as far as the Iraqi people are concerned, are not WMDs. And I should say that I regard WMDs as a symptom of the problem in Iraq and not the cause and the root of the problem. The cause and root are Saddam Hussein. The Iraqi people understand that. I also think we should look at the possibility that Saddam may in fact comply with inspections. And if so, what happens? Suppose Saddam complies for 6 months, for a year, for 2 years. Everybody will be lulled into a false sense of security. How can we ensure that the issue of WMDs and the threat that they pose is not going to reemerge?
Mr. Istrabadi, are you concerned that the U.S. is not committed to regime change in Iraq?
I am deeply concerned about whether or not the United States is committed to regime change. When I hear the President of the United States stating that were Saddam Hussein to comply with the United Nations Security Council resolutions dealing with weapons of mass destruction, that is the functional equivalent of regime change. Let me say that from the perspective of the 22 million people inside Iraq, on whose neck Saddam Hussein continues to have his boot, whether he complies with the weapons of mass destruction program has nothing to do with regime change. The current government may well have killed between 1 to 2 million of its own citizens. Whether or not Saddam Hussein is pursuing biological or nuclear weapons to these people is of absolutely no moment, other than granted that when he has these weapons, he uses them on his own people. But from their perspective, the notion that regime change can be solved simply by complying with the WMD inspections is ludicrous.
And how good is the information that you have about what's going on the ground? Both of you live in the United States. Most of the Iraqi opposition is out of the country. How good is the communication with people inside the country?
I think it is good. My understanding is that a number of organizations and groups, to a certain extent the Iraq Foundation is involved in that, is trying to feel the lay of the land inside Iraq and to talk to people who come in and out of the country from time to time to know what kind of thinking that they are engaged in, what are their fears, what are their aspirations. Other people, for example, are probably talking to people in the military or in the current government institutions in order to sort of gather a good feel for the map in Iraq as it now stands.
Do you believe that Iraqis want democracy and that they can find the road to achieve it?
Oh, yes. Look, from the Iraqi Communist Party to the fundamentalist Islamic parties, all agree on one thing, that the Iraqis want democracy. And I think when you see organizations of these different stripes, there can only be one reality for why it is that these parties are in agreement, and that is because they understand that that indeed reflects the earnest hopes of the people of Iraq. Look, there are people that want to tell us that, the Arabs or the Muslims or Middle Easterners or people from the Third World, they don't think as we do, they don't have the same aspirations as we do, they don't regard life as we do. I regard those types of attitudes as patently racist. These are human beings who yearn to breathe free, if I may quote the Statue of Liberty, just as we do. And there is wide reason to believe that Iraq can indeed be an exemplar to the Arab and Islamic worlds.
Faisal Amin Istrabadi is a lawyer and Iraqi-American activist, and Rend Rahim Franki directs the Iraq Foundation. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back.